ॐ ह्रीं दक्षिणामूर्तये तुभ्यम् पुरनिवासिने ध्यानैकनिरताङ्गाय नमो रुद्राय शम्भवे ह्रीं ॐ ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति 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 सो यू ऑल नो अपरोक्ष अनुभूति मीन्स अपरोक्ष ज्ञानम अपरोक्ष ज्ञानम मीन्स इमीडिएट नॉलेज immediate knowledge of the reality is knowledge of the reality is in fact immediate knowledge of the self immediate reality for the one who wants to know is the self therefore immediate knowledge so last class I differentiated the aparoksha jnanam from Paroksha Jnanam and Pratyaksha Jnanam. Pratyaksha Jnanam is direct knowledge of an object. Paroksha Jnanam is direct indirect knowledge of an object. Aparoksha Jnanam is immediate knowledge of the very subject, the self. So let us read the verses now. श्रीहरिं परमानन्दम् उपदेष्टारमीश्वरम् व्यापकं सर्वलोकानां कारणं तं नमाम्यहम्
अपरोक्षानुभूतिर्वै
प्रोच्यते मोक्षसिद्धये सद्भिरेव प्रयत्नेन वीक्षणीया मुहुर्मुहुः सो Adishankara Bhagavatpada himself being the author of the text, you can understand even though his vision is Aham Brahma Asmi, but he never begins his any work without the Mangala Acharanam, the benedictory verse. That means he prays to Bhagavan to ward off the obstacles, that he should be able to complete the text. The knowledge, Aham Brahmasmi, is very much there. Still, he prays to Bhagavan. He begins his work with a prayer. We'll understand that later on. How and all that. Then, I said, the very first verse, being in benedictory verse, having invoked the grace of Bhagavan to begin his work, then Shankara, the second verse, introduces Anubandha Chatushtayam. Anubandha means a factor involved in any textbook. So, there are four anubandhaha, chatvaraha anubandhaha. The four factors are involved in writing or in any textbook. Any book. So, given book of a given discipline should have these four factors. And what are they? Vishayaha, subject matter. Then, adhikari, the intended or the reader, who will benefit by reading the book, who is interested in the given subject matter is the adhikari, or the eligible person who can read and understand subject matter with interest, who is desirous of knowing the content of the subject matter alone will read the book, and who is capable of understanding the. Some people may be desirous of reading the book, but they may not be able to understand the content. That means they do not know anything about, they are not ready for, qualified for understanding the subject matter of the textbook. So the person here, adhikari, is the one who is desirous of knowing the content, and also the one who is qualified to be able to read and understand the book. Is adhikari. The person who wants to study physics without having any background in physics, he goes to the shop and buys a physics book, he cannot read and understand. Like that here, the adhikari is the one who is qualified to understand the content. It's called adhikari, vishayaha adhikari. Then sambandaha, the connection. The connection is a topic which we will be quite technical. I simply introduced last class as sadhana, sadhya sambandaha, pratipadaka, pratipadya sambandaha, the revealer, revealed connection, the means and connections I mentioned, but we will understand it later on better. And then phalam is the benefit of gaining the knowledge of the content of the book, a subject matter of the textbook. It's called phalam. So these are the four factors which constitute the anubandha chatushtayam. So Shankara Bhagavatpada introduces the anubandha chatushtayam in the second verse. So we saw last class, aparoksha anubhutihi, this text on self-knowledge. Aparoksha anubhutihi means immediate knowledge of the self, self-knowledge. This text on self-knowledge, prochyate, is indeed here, said here, or revealed here, presented here, is unfolded here, expounded here. For what? For what? Because it serves as a means of knowledge. Of the book itself, it serves as a means of knowledge. And what is knowledge for? Knowledge itself is moksha. Knowledge is freedom. See, moksha is not something which happens after gaining the knowledge. The very knowledge is moksha. Therefore, this study of this book is for knowledge, and which is a means of moksha, which itself is moksha. Because this we analyzed many times earlier in our other classes, that how knowledge and moksha are identical. I don't need to go into the details, because moksha implies freedom from unhappiness. Freedom from unhappiness implies happiness, and happiness is nothing but fullness or limitlessness, which is the very swarupam of the Atma, which is the reality of everything. Therefore, knowledge of the self is knowledge of what fullness is. Therefore, knowledge itself is what? Moksha. Therefore, moksha siddhaye prochyate. Kimartham prochyate this aparoksha anubhutihi. Kimartham prochyate. What is it revealed for, expounded for? Because it serves as a means of knowledge of the self, which itself is moksha. For that purpose, this book is expounded here. Moksha siddhaye aparoksha anubhutihi. Pra uchyate, prakrishena uchyate, elaborately discussed here. Okay, and this book, then who is the eligible person? That is said in the next line. Who is the adhikari? So subject matter is aparoksha anubhutihi of the textbook. And what is the phalam? Benefit, moksha siddhihi is the phalam. And who is the adhikari? That is said in the second line. Sat bihi. Sat bihi means by those righteous people. But those Sat itself means what? Sat Purushaha. Sat here does not mean the reality. Sat here means Sat Purushaha. Sajjanaha. 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 So Sadbihi eva means Sat Purushahi eva. Sajjanehi eva. No, Vikshaniya. This book has to be read by the eligible students. Eligible people. And who are the eligible people? Without saying it, it implies people who are endowed with the fourfold qualifications. Okay, that means what? People who are ethical, people who are morally strong, and people who live a life of values. People who are committed to live a life of values. Thereby who entertain certain maturity, you know. So they are the people are mentioned here as Sajjanaha. These are eligible people. Why? Because it is very important for one to understand. People in Vedic culture, people of Vedic culture, they always pursuit of the knowledge or study of the truth, which is philosophy, and living a morally clean life. No, living a religious life. See, being worshipful, being prayerful, and commitment to live a life of values, ethical life. They're not two different things in Vedic culture. Always, that is why philosophy is always, you know, goes with the religion. What happens? Because a religious person, the philosophical person, the person who is given to the pursuit of knowledge, who is given to the study of the truth, is in fact a religious person also. Definitely he is a religious person. Being religious means he is not simply worshipful and prayerful, he is highly ethical also. And there is no way of being religious without being. The present day terms are different. In Vedic periods, highly religious person means he is highly ethical, worshipful, prayerful, committed to values, and he is also a spiritual person. No, philosophical, the person. So philosopher is in fact not just a theologian. Okay, he is also a theologian. That is why always the Westerners, when they try to understand Adi Shankara Bhagavatpada's commentaries, they have the problem, because Shankara, everywhere he talks, his vision is so clear, and that Aham Brahma Asmi, I am the truth, that vision is so clear in his interpretations, in his comment bhashyams, you know, all his works. And in between you can see all that he also, lots of, he invokes Ishvara everywhere. He brings in Ishvara there. He emphasizes dharma. Because it is important for the one who is given to the pursuit of knowledge to live a clean life also. There is no such thing called philosophy is something different, and theologian, you know, the philosopher and theologians are two different people are in other cultures. The person who is given interest in God, you know, not a philosopher. The person who is a philosopher, the so-called philosopher, if you see the personal life, is not that good. So, whereas in Indian, the Vedic culture, a philosopher is a theologian as well. Not a mere theologian. So, theology without philosophy becomes incomplete. And a philosophy without theology is impossible. And theology means without religious, living a religious life. That is why you can see, you know, the Shastram emphasizes this living an ethical life, a morally clean life. So here we say Sadbihi means the Sajjanaha, those who are morally, ethically strong and who are committed to live a life of values are Sajjanaha. They are the eligible people. They are the people who have, you know, these fourfold qualifications also, who can have the fourfold qualifications. We are going to analyze those qualifications later. Anyway, Sajjanaha, they are the eligible people. And then how? Vikshaniya. how efforts, prayatnena, with effort, this book has to be studied with effort. Vikshaniya means carefully, prudently looked into. This book must be studied with prudence, with great effort, with great care. That is why prayatnena vikshaniya, vikshaniya. What should be the effort one should make? Whatever qualification one doesn't have to understand this. One has to make the adequate, appropriate, necessary, possible efforts. You can't say impossible, okay? Necessary, adequate efforts one has to make to understand. Is this the grammar knowledge which stops me from understanding this? Let me make an effort to understand that. Is it my Shraddha, lack of Shraddha prevents me from understanding it? Let me have the Shraddha. Suppose, once I read, I become tired, I read two, three times, didn't understand, let me lose effort. No. Until I understand, I will not leave it. It's called prayatna. What should be your effort? Until it becomes clear, my continuous effort should be continuous. The perseverance must be continuous. Because always what happens, when you get tired of doing certain things, we give up all the half the way. In this context, the prayatna means not mere yatnaha, the prayatna effort must be continuous effort. And then adequate efforts, proper effort, appropriate efforts. Sometimes we make efforts and they're not appropriate. Vain effort. Some say we make efforts, not enough efforts. Sometimes we make efforts, but not unnecessary things. Inappropriate it becomes. That is why the effort must be appropriate also. So with all effort, this sajjanaha, the eligible people, should look into this book. How? Muhur muhuhu. Muhur muhuhu means again and again and again and again. I have finished reading second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Never ever say that. If you have time, go through it again. Finished in third chapter, don't say I finished reading it, go through it again. Any Vedantic text you have covered once or twice or three times, nothing wrong in repeating the study of the same text again and again and again. That's why muhuhu muhuhu. So the muhuhu muhuhu implies shravana manana nididhyasanam. How long should I be repeating? How long should I repeat this study until this vision becomes very clear? Aham Brahma Asmi, that jnanam becomes a fact for you. When you understand, understanding, study helps you to have the understanding. Understanding becomes assimilated and ascertained only when you are able to take care of your habitual misconceptions. Understand, study of the Shastram gives you understanding. Your habitual misconceptions come and obstruct that it makes you forget the understanding. When you do not study the Shastram, you do not understand at all. That you aham brahmasmi, you can never understand if you do not study the Shastram. When you study the Shastram, Shravanam definitely blesses you with Aham Brahmasmi Jnanam. Will definitely bless you with Jnanam. Understanding happens. But that understanding, you understand, it is possible for you to forget what you have understood. Why you forget? Because of your habitual errors, habitual misconceptions, which has been there for, understanding is very new. But habit, what has been there, erroneous self-perception has been there habitually for janmas. Therefore, this very new understanding, it is possible for one to forget the new understanding because of the age-old habitual misconception. Therefore, how to break off that very powerful habitual misconception? Only by constantly, continuously, reminding yourself of the fact which you have understood, which is called Nididhyasanam. That is why, how long should I be studying? Once you read, you understand, then you feel little bored to go through it again. No. What you have understood should become a fact, assimilated, ascertained fact. Till then, you are not giving up this study. It's called muhuhu muhuhu. Again and again and again and again, this aparoksha anubhutihi vikshaniya, carefully studied. With all possible necessary adequate efforts by people who are qualified for this knowledge. Therefore, here itself, in the second verse itself, in a nutshell, Shankara Bhagavatpada presents the Anubandha Chatushtayam. The Sambandha alone he does not touch here, which we will see later on. The three factors he deals with here. Three. Vishayaha, Adhikari, Phalam. The three aspects of Anubandha Chatushtayam he discusses here. Okay. So now we are going into the, these are the two verses I did last class. I just touched them. For your sake, I repeated today. So we're going into the third verse.
Svavarnashrama dharmena, tapasaharitoshanat, sadhanam prabhavet pumsam. Vairagyadi chatushtayam.
So, from this verse onwards, till the 11th verse, the Shankara discusses the fourfold qualifications. First, he talks about how to acquire those fourfold qualifications. Then he discusses what those fourfold qualifications are. The third verse onwards till the 11th verse. Anubandha Chatushtayam is over. Now he starts what? Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampattihi. The fourfold qualifications required on the part of the student. They are discussed from the third verse. And Shankara, initially, he tells how to acquire those qualifications. Thereafter, he is going to discuss what those qualifications are. And before going there, I want you to understand. See, the entire Veda Shastram is divided into two parts. Veda Purva Bhagaha and Veda Uttara Bhagaha. The Veda Purva Bhaga, the first part of the Veda, has or deals with two aspects, karma and upasana. The concluding part, the later part of the Veda, deals with, is called jnana kandaha, deals with jnanam. So karma, upasanam and jnanam. Karma, upasanam and jnanam are the three things discussed elaborately, completely in the entire Veda. So the first part, karma kandaha, the first part of the Veda deals with karma and upasanam. And the later part deals with jnanam, which is called jnana kandaha. That is why we can say Veda consists of three kandas, karma kandaha, upasana kandaha and jnana kandaha. But we separate both karma and upasana together as first part and jnanam as the later part. And here the karma kandaha deals with different types of karma. What are they? We can say kamya karma, nishkama karma, sakama karma. You can say sakama karma, nishkama karma, and pratishuddha karma. Sakama karma, nishkama karma, and pratishuddha karma. So sakama karma means actions performed for accomplishing given ends, to fulfill given needs and given desires. They are ritual, the form of rituals. Sakama karma. Nishkama karma means performing actions. Even though we perform the actions for given ends, our focus is more on antakarna shuddhi and naishchalyam. So karmas, the rituals performed for exclusively for the mental purity and mental steadiness, wherein you can have the fruit of the, some result also can be there as a byproduct. Nishkama karma. Then we also have what? Pratishiddha karma. Karma kanda also discusses the pratishiddha karma or nishiddha karma, prohibited actions. What are the prohibited actions? In fact, it says, suram napibet, may one not drink liquor, kalunjam na bhunjita, may one not eat meat, himsam na kuryat, may one not involve in any hurting activities, satyam vada, dharmam chara. Like that, no, there, satyam vada is okay. There are so many things which Veda discusses as to be avoided actions. So, nishiddham karma or patishiddham karma. It's all discussed in karma kanda. So, then what is better? This performance of sakama karma does not help one to progress spiritually. It blesses one with fruits, expected, desired fruits. Performance of sakama karma blesses one with fulfillment of one's needs and desires. Fine, nothing wrong. But it really stagnates the spiritual growth. Okay. But nishkama karma blesses one with whatever fruit or the karma deserves, plus it blesses one with mental purity and steadiness, antakarna shuddhi and naishchalyam. Thereby it uplifts one, it helps one, for contributes for spiritual growth. Whether you want, nishkama karma also produces phalam. Sakama karma also produces phalam. But what is the difference? What makes the karma sakama? What makes the karma nishkama? When you perform a karma for given end, your focus is more on antakarna shuddhi and naishchalyam, it becomes nishkama karma. The focus is only on the fruit of the action, it becomes sakama karma. So Shastram does not say, do not expect the result. You do the karma for the result, but with the understanding of the limitation of karma, phalam, that then your focus is more for what? Antakarna shuddhi and naishchalyam. I live the life, I do this, whatever I have to do for my mental purity and steadiness, that I want to prepare myself for I want to be eligible for jnanam. With that intention, with that understanding, when you perform, it becomes as nishkama karma. It's the attitude, isn't it? So nishkama karma. So nishkama karma produces phalam in keeping with parabdha, but antakarna shuddhihi and naischalyam will be the additional benefit which will help you to, which will contribute for your spiritual development. Whereas performance of pratishiddha karma will not only stagnate you, will degrade you from position where you are. What is it which degrades your status? What is it which lifts you up, elevates your status? What is it which stagnates your status? Stagnating, uplifting, degrading. So pratishiddha karma degrades, pulls you down. Sakama karma stagnates, nishkama karma elevates. So we can choose which karma I should choose. Of course, we make all our possible efforts to avoid pratishiddha karma. And then we do the karma what is to be done. When we do the karma, where our focus is very clear, we enjoy the benefit, we also have shuddhi and naischalyam. Is it clear now? So Karma Kanda talks about these three types of karma. And we also have what now? Upasanam. Is it? Upasanam is for naischalyam, mental steadiness. The performance of karma is for antakarna shuddhihi, mental purity. So these two should culminate in what? Pursuit of knowledge. You perform karma, nishkama karma, for antakarna shuddhihi, and you practice upasanam for antakarna naischalyam. Both together should culminate in, result in what? Pursuit of knowledge. Is called Jnana Yoga. Jnana Yoga. So this Karma Yoga and Upasanam together prepare one for living a life of Jnana Yoga. Upasanam also we include as a mental activity, also include in Karma Yoga itself. That is why we can make it very clear, there is no such thing called path of meditation, path of karma, path of knowledge, and path of devotion. There are not such divisions. Okay. So here, Shankara prescribes those two, karma and upasanam, the preparatory disciplines for jnanam, in this introduces this verse. In the first line, what does he say? So to come to this, I have given you this thing.
Svavarnashrama dharmena tapasaharitoshanat.
Svavarna ashrama dharma dharmena. Svavarna ashrama dharma, varnashrama dharma, varna dharma, ashrama dharma. Disciplines based on one's dharma, duties based on one's dharma, varna, and duties based on one's ashrama. So this performing this nishkama karma performance of Nishkama Karma is implied by this line, following one's ashrama dharma and varna dharma. How can one follow Nishkama Karma, do Nishkama Karma, following one's varna dharma and ashrama dharma itself is what? Is in fact performing Nishkama Karma. It means doing one's duties based on ashrama and varna. What is a varna? What is a ashrama? See, actually this Shankara expects us to already understood all these things. That's why he just talks about the social status. Social status, we can say varna, social designated duties. And ashramaha is a stage in life. So we have four varnas as brahmanaha, kshatriyaha, vaishyaha, shudraha. Nowadays, it is difficult to, even in India, it is difficult to find what is a brahmana dharma, what is a kshatriya dharma, what is a vaishya dharma, shudra dharma, what are the duties of a... So these four classes actually are, the whole society can be divided into these four classes based on their inclinations for activities, what they're inclined to do and what they do, based on what one is doing, what one is inclined to do, people can be classified into these four groups. In India, once upon a time, there's a jati brahmana. By birth, one can be a brahmana, but by actions, he may not be doing what he should be doing. So, karmana, some people who do karma brahmana, jati brahmana, and then guna brahmana. One who is by guna, one becomes a brahmana. So all the human beings are supposed to become guna brahmanas. You can, by birth, you can be a shudraha or vaishyaha or a kshatriyaha or brahmanaha. Does not matter. One has to become a guna brahmana. By karma, by actions, you may be involved in completely different job. You may be involved in a brahmana karma or a vaishya karma or a shudra karma or a kshatriya karma. Okay, whatever karma. But all of them must become what? Guna brahmana. If a person cannot live a righteous life, does not live a life of karma yoga, the life is not governed by one's commitment to the commitment to values, then naturally, even if he is born a brahmana, even if he is involved in the activities of brahmana, still he is a adharmi, is a shudra, isn't it? So in keeping with the gradation, that's why everyone has to, there's a guna shudra, guna vaishya, and guna brahmana, and guna kshatriya. By his guna, he is a kshatriya. By his guna, he is a brahmana. By his guna, this person is a vaishya. By his guna, by his nature, isn't it? By his attitude, by lifestyle, he is a shudra. Therefore, what Shastra says is, gunata, whether janmataha, jatitaha, by your birth or by your action, whether you are kshatriya, brahmana or vaishya, shudra, doesn't matter. Every human being has to become a guna brahmana. How can one become a guna brahmana? Only by performing this nishkama karma. So nishkama, performance of nishkama karma implies one living, one doing one's duties based on one's varna and ashrama. If you know what varna you belong to, then you have to be, you should know your duties and you should be doing your duties. And if you know what stage you are in your life,
are you still 16, 17, are you 40, 50, or 60, 70, in keeping with your age, the stage of life, your duties also varies. You cannot take the responsibility of looking after children at the age of 70. That is different, isn't it? The same time, because always, it's very important for one to know one's responsibilities and duties and then to do also. So it's all in a stage, ashrama dharmas. So one has to know one's varna dharmas and ashrama dharmas, and one has to be committed to do one's duties in conformity with dharma, that then one becomes a performer of nishkama karma. One becomes a person who lives a life of karma yoga. Performance of duty means living a life of karma yoga. You know what all it involves. Attitude, proper attitude, commitment to dharma, and doing what is to be done with certain attitude. Therefore, nowadays, even in India, people are really confused about this varna dharma and ashrama dharma. Therefore, for us, now what we should do? We should have something substitute for worldwide people who are living all over. People who want to live this, who are spiritual, and for them, how they should live their lifestyle? No? They should live a life of karma yoga, or we can simply say, one has to follow pancha maha yajnas. So varnashrama dharmas, following varnashrama dharmas, duties based on varna and ashrama, can be said to be what now? Actually, living a life of karma yoga, or I can say, following pancha maha yajnas. Is it clear now? Pancha maha yajnas. What are those pancha maha yajnas? They're all very pretty basic things, but still Shankara, very beautifully he takes systematically. You can see how he develops. First we say, deva yajnaha. Deva yajnaha. Daily worship. Because what happens, people who are given to the study of Vedanta or who are given to the study of philosophies completely forget about Ishvara. In Vedic culture, there is no such thing called, just as I told you, for study of philosophy without, because philosophy is always connected to religion in India. Because disciplined life is a must for the pursuit of knowledge. Okay, being worshipful, being prayerful, and commitment to live a life of values, these things are so much emphasized. That is why religious life, pursuit of knowledge, always goes in hand with what? Living a religious life also. Is it clear? That's why we say here, deva yajnaha means, in fact, worship of the Lord. Why should we worship the Lord every day? To neutralize. See, until the vision becomes assimilated, you may be doing shravanam every day. You may have the understanding that aham brahmasmi. Still, until ascertainment takes place, one should not give up the worship. Then deva yajna is nitya puja. Nitya puja means don't need to perform elaborate pujas, but somewhere every day we have to be thoughtful of Bhagavan. We have to be express our gratitude and thanks to Bhagavan. And this nitya puja neutralizes your, heart, really neutralizes your unknowingly done papa karmas. See, sometimes you are highly committed to dharma. You don't want to do anything wrong. Sometimes unknowingly we may do wrong things. Not consciously. So to neutralize those papas, because the worship makes you more sensitive and more alert, that you will avoid slowly, unconsciously, unknowingly done wrong actions. But unknowingly done wrong action already have to be neutralized. The Devi Yajnaha, daily worship, takes care of, neutralizing your unknowingly done papa karmas. Deva Yajnaha, then Pitru Yajnaha, ancestral worship. See, we always take it for granted. We never think how important it is to be thoughtful of our parents, our grandparents. Because being thoughtful of them not only just tells all, not emotionally getting entangled and crying, thinking of them. That is another that's a foolish thing, isn't it? When you become emotional, when you think of them, how much you enjoy, that's a different thing. But how they lived their lives. Because we have something to say, that's why we can talk about it. Some children come and tell me also, some children come to me for counseling, they talk about their parentage. It's really a great pain for me. And I do some japam, because to get rid of that pain. And I hear the stories, counseling, people come, very bad parentage, very bad. They don't have such thing called rock about the ancestors and all that, in this country especially. So anyway, that's what I'm saying. It is very important to be respectful, to be thoughtful of ancestors, and also because we do not, for us everything is Ishvara, means is another way of worshipping the Lord in the form of your own ancestors. At least they have given, this body is born through the ancestors, even if you have not enjoyed anything big. Isn't it? That's why Pitru Yajnaha. Because it becomes a duty. Because, you see, every time, any worship, Yajna is a worship, any worship connects you to Bhagavan. Any worship puts you in touch with Bhagavan. Connects you to, you are not isolated. Every time in worship, you become associated, linked, related to the totality. That is the secret. What is the secret in worship, in prayer? Unknowingly, even though you are isolated individual, you become connected with the totality. Is it clear? So, Pitru Yajnaha. The third one is, you say, Manushya Yajnaha. Manushya Yajnaha, actually, itself is a worship. The service to the fellow beings. Don't need to go out of the way to do things. Whatever is possible on your part to help to do the needful for the fellow human beings whom you come in contact with. Who are in your acquaintance, who are your acquaintances. You don't need to go in search for somebody in South Africa because you want to do something. Go on internet and search for somebody who is deserving, I want to help. Don't do all those things. Don't need to do all those things. You see, who are the people who you are associating with? Who are your acquaintances? And what they really need? You don't need to go out of the way. If anybody needs anything, doing the needful with the presence of mind for the fellow human beings, to the extent possible. So involving oneself in any charitable activities also becomes a Manushya Yajna. Whatever is possible within one's limits. Sometimes we do not know the limit. And then we get entangled everywhere. See, anything you get entangled emotionally and you don't know how to come out of it. We are going to study, Shankara is going to talk about it, vasanas, later on. That's why this text is very, very beautiful textbook. Every textbook is better than every other textbook, isn't it? When you were studying Dhritarashtra Viveka, you found it was fantastic. Now this book you will see such something more. Anyway, so Pitru Yajnaha, then Deva Yajna, Pitru Yajna, Manushya Yajna, then we say Bhuta Yajna. Not only you are good to your fellow beings, you also equally consider the other beings. It is a worship. There are people who don't mind slaughtering the cows and eating meat, but they're so attached to dogs. You see, we know people. Dogs and cats. And every tree has some letter. If you find this dog, and please inform me. So emotionally entangled. But they eat meat. What is the Bhuta Yajna there? I don't know whether these talks when they're heard by other people, know how they'll respond to it. But actually what I'm saying, Bhuta Yajna means what? Bhuta means not element here, a living being. So being, not harming, doing, if possible, we can help other living beings also. If we cannot help, at least don't cause any harm. Do any harm, don't cause any hurt to other living beings. You know, in Indian culture, the very purpose of even putting the rangoli with the rice flour is to help the ants to come and take some granules. They cannot come and eat the rice directly. We make the powder and we put the rangoli so that they can come and take the granules, rice granules. Very rangoli is for Bhuta Yajna only. We feed the crows, we feed the cows, we don't go and feed tigers and lions because we don't need to feed them. They'll come and just, that is why we don't go to the, we talk about the, don't immediately people ask all these questions. Oh, if feeding animals is a Bhuta Yajna, then do you feed ants and crows and then cows? Why don't you feed tigers and lions? We don't need to feed them, okay? They take care of the persons. What I'm saying, of course, we even hunting, I tell you, for who's, you need to have different bent of mind to go for hunting also. This is a Bhuta Yajna means what now? Not causing any hurt, not doing any harm, pain to any other living being itself is a worship, which is Bhuta Yajna. You go into the temple and then doing namaskaram is good. That is Deva Yajna. You know what is Bhuta Yajna? Worship in the form of not hurting, not causing any pain to any other living being. Utterly human beings. Not hurting the feelings of human beings is Manushya Yajna. If possible, help, at least don't hurt. And not, if you possible, help, at least not, don't any harm to other living beings. Just Bhuta Yajna. Very important. We are not very sensitive, really. We study and go, but we just live the way what we want to do. Live. Isn't it? That is why this is, Shankara is very serious when he talks, when he says, what you study, what you understand, no, it's not practical. People come and tell me it's not practical. If you think you are not ready for Shastra Jnanam, it becomes a mere academic pursuit. It doesn't become really, it will not be a pramanam then. If Shastram, you want it to be a pramanam, or you want it just to study as for academic interest, mere academic interest. It has to serve the purpose and we had to strictly make all efforts to follow. That is why Prayatnena, he said earlier. Anyway, so Bhuta Yajna, the last one is what? Brahma Yajna or Rishi Yajna. The fifth one. Brahma Yajna, Brahma here means Veda. Or you can say Rishi Yajna also. So studying some part of the scripture every day, making it a point to study some part of the Shastra. At least I read and understand one verse of Bhagavad Gita every day. Or at least I attend one class, at least once in a week I am attending, what now? Every Friday morning 6:30, difficult to go, still I attend the class, Shastra class. It's called Swadhyayaha. No, Swadhyayaha, one Mahatma was there called Pandurang Shastri, who really started this group called Swadhyaya, Swadhyayi groups in Gujarat to those days to prevent people from really becoming indisciplined. That's a different purpose, anyway. But what I mean, Swadhyayaha means self-study. Self-study does not mean you should ignore the teacher and study on your own. I'm mistaken here. I mean, if making it a point to spare some time definitely for the study of this Shastra. Study means not mechanically chanting or anything, trying to understand the expositions of the verses, the mantras, the some teaching. You can't study all everything, the entire Veda, all the things. At least little one verse of Gita, one verse of every day I sit and study some portion of some Vedantic literature. You know, actually those days people were supposed to study their own at least branch of the Veda. It is a must for every family, must be belonging to some family, some group, and then they must be having their own branch of Veda. It's a must for them to study their own branch of Veda. Nowadays, how should we take which branch you belong to, we don't even know. And how to study, what to study, we are too old to understand all those things. So what can we do? The best thing is, at least make it a point to study the Vedantic literature every day. Make it a point to read, not mechanically. Try to sit and focus sometimes to study, which itself is a discipline and which itself is a worship. Mahayagya, Jnana Yagya, that is. People think yagya means only you have to kindle fire, then offer oblations, and which is a big yagya. Periya Velvi. Big yagya, they think. Really speaking, yagya means worship. Every day sitting and taking some literature, Vedantic literature, and studying carefully with Shraddha, trying to understand what it is said here, itself is a worship, which is Brahma Yajna, or also called Rishi Yajna. By studying the Shastram itself, you are thoughtful of Rishis. That's why it's also called Rishi Yajna. Okay, Rishi Yajna. Now what you are doing is Rishi Yajna. If you are thinking of this every day, even what you understood Gita class, every Wednesday you have Rishi Yajna. Every Saturday morning you have Rishi Yajna. If you sit, take a Gita home study book or take the notes you have written here in the class, you go through it, it's a Rishi Yajna. That itself is a worship. Don't think it is not worship. People, if these things, some people think only if they go to the temple or do arati, maharati, it's a puja, they think. Not true. This is also yajna. So, pancha maha yajnas, like this, we have what now? This deva yajna, pitru yajna, manushya yajna, bhuta yajna, brahma yajna, or rishi yajna. These are the five maha yajnas. If you follow them, With the commitment to live a life of values, becomes what now? Still life becomes a life of karma yoga. Okay? Then it is equivalent to what? Performing nishkama karma. Following panchamahayagnas with the commitment to live a life of dharma, doing one's duties, at least at present you know what your duties are, itself becomes what? Becomes equivalent to the performance of nishkama karma, which is equivalent to following varna ashrama dharmas. So varna ashrama dharmas. Why you have to follow that? That is for preparing, that is the only way you can prepare your mind for jnanam. Then tapasaha. Varnashrama dharmena, thereafter tapasaha. Haritoshanat. Tapas means austerity. How can tapasa haritoshana means pleasing the Hari, Lord Hari. Harihi, you can take whatever Vishnu Devata you have. You can say Shiva Toshanath, Murugan Toshanath, Subramanya Toshanath, Vishnu Toshanath. You can have your own Ishta Devata, doesn't matter. Hari Toshanam means Bhagavat Toshanam, Ishvara Toshanam. Toshanam means pleasing. One can have one's mind, actually one can have a sharp intellect, emotionally balanced mind, pure and steady mind, with which alone you can understand and assimilate the subject matter of the Shastra. You see, I tell you, the preparing one's mind for jnanam is the difficult thing. Jnanam is not at all difficult. That, how can you have, first you saw Hari, you know, living a life of karma yoga, following pancha mahayajnas, and which is implied here as following varna ashrama dharmas. What is the next thing? Haritoshanam, pleasing the Lord. How can you please your Lord? Tapasa, by your austerity. Austerity means what now? Strictly following disciplines. Strictly following disciplines itself becomes a tapas, an austerity, by which you can please the Lord. Pleasing the Lord implies what here again? There is no way of pleasing the Lord. Hari Toshanam means Harim Toshiyati. You have to please Bhagavan. Bhagavan cannot be bribed. We can please people by bribing. But if we have to please Bhagavan, we cannot bribe him. First thing is commitment to live a life of dharma itself will please Bhagavan. And all our efforts will try to please Bhagavan, to live a life of dharma. Life lived in conformity with dharma, which will not rub the universal law and order. Okay, avoiding the rubbing of the universal natural law and order itself will please Bhagavan. Okay, when tsunami, all these things happen, we can understand how Bhagavan is displeased. The wrath of and nature is what? Actually, Bhagavan being displeased with this. Means this rub in the universal natural law and order alone causes the disorder, and the disorder has to be come back to the order, and that that disorder when it tries to come back to the order, it causes so much of havoc. Individually, communally, or totally universal, it can happen anyways. We really do not understand this. Do not connect how my life is, my small actions also contribute for the disturbance in the universal law and order. We are not sensitive enough to think that way. Anyway, so here, tapasa haritoshanath. No? So by making all possible efforts, here what happens? Some certain things become our habits. You know, habits. Once you do something, we are going to analyze it in the later on also about handling the mind, such beautifully he is discussing. What becomes our habit? Our habit is what, if once you do something, that becomes an mental impression. And then whatever is in your mental impression, is there as a mental impression, becomes your habit. And we have two types of habits, good habits and bad habits. I don't know whether bad and good, healthy habits and very unhealthy habits. Any habit becomes difficult to break. Unhealthy habits, healthy habits are okay. Every day I get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, somehow I made it a point. Once I woke up at 5 o'clock, and then then every day I was getting up, and it became my habit. It's a good habit, not a bad habit, unhealthy. One day I went to bed late at 2 o'clock in the night. I didn't sleep till 2 o'clock. and next day also 2 o'clock, and next day 3 o'clock, and next day 1 o'clock, like this, every day go to bed late. It becomes a habit. Then because of that, you every day get up late also. That is what now? Unhealthy. Like that we have in terms of food, the food habits, you know, sleeping habits, our behavior habits, everything actually once done becomes an impression, vasana, and that becomes what again you are, you know, activate, the same vasanas are activated and you are inclined to do those things. That's how we develop habits. What is a habit? He's going to analyze later on beautifully the text. But now I don't want to go into details. So this is how we have. That's why tapas is a must. Austerity means what now? Our own Swamiji says, willful self-denial. Okay, I want to eat this. If it is bad for my health, allowed to eat is no, I'm not going to eat it. No, one day is okay. Already you are weak. Another person also comes and tells you, one day eat it, says okay. And then that's all. My will just becomes nothing. Swamiji says beautifully, you know, this vali. Any bad, unhealthy habit is like a vali. Once vali comes, whoever fights with vali, the other person will have, vali will take the half of your power. And you become only half powered, okay? Half power has been robbed, becomes robbed by, taken away by vali. Vali comes with you, comes to the picture to fight with you, gone. Half of your strength has gone to him already. And he has his own full strength also. And that's the question of you are becoming victorious over him. Like that, our habits, our unhealthy habits are valis. Already your willpower is there. Your willpower, half of your willpower becomes, what now? Become the power of the unhealthy habit. Therefore, unhealthy habit becomes more powerful, you become much less powerful, in the bargain, unhealthy habit becomes, is victorious over you, your willpower. That is why tapas, austerity. How is it possible for you to follow tapas? It's always effort, you know, effort to do what is appropriate and right. Not only the actions, the habits also. How to convert the unhealthy into healthy habits. Which means following, knowing the value. So once the discipline, knowing the value of, understanding the value of converting the unhealthy into healthy habits. Then it is possible. You can make effort. That is why we have a lot of vratams in India, dependence, etc. No? Why we follow this vratams? Ekadashi, I fast. Means what? Now that you should not, those such things are all, the following vratams, etc. are austerity we call. Why? Because you somehow, at least it's all to improve your willpower. Okay, one day I don't eat. That is the day you feel very, very hungry. Certain things, some tapas. So in the name of Bhagavan we say, okay, for Bhagavan's sake. Bhagavan doesn't expect, doesn't care when you eat or you don't eat. But it's our own, you know, what is our willpower, isn't it? That's why we have certain austerities. We can simply say tapas here means being committed to follow disciplines. Be committed to live a life of values, isn't it? Is one thing. And be committed to follow disciplines. I mean, so that we can convert all our unhealthy habits into healthy habits. That's the only way we can please Bhagavan. So living a life of values, following strictly the disciplines, you know, it's all, then, with having a proper attitude is what now? Haritoshanam. It's the only way you can live a life in conformity with the universal law and order, avoid the rubbing the universal law and order. It's the only way you can please Bhagavan. pleasing Bhagavan means living a life, you know, in harmony with, in tune with universal law and order by strictly following disciplines and values. Okay. I mean, people find it difficult and then we make it very flexible. Okay, that's okay. Okay, okay, okay. Everything is okay because we are scared of losing. Vedanta is not scared of losing people. If you want to, you know, if you want to make use of me, come on, follow what I say. If you don't want to make, I won't go out of the way to tell you, okay? I bless you. But you it will take its own, your own time for you to utter what you want. Then, therefore, sadhanam prabhavet pumsam.
Sadhanam prabhavet pumsam.
Vairagyadichatushtayam.
Vairagyadichatushtayam.
So, svavarna dharma, following varna dharma, following ashrama dharma, or living a life of karma yoga, following disciplines, living a life of values, all these things will bless one with what? It's the only way one can become qualified. In the form of what? One can become the fourfold, you know, one can become qualified with fourfold qualifications. One can have fourfold qualifications. So he says, sadhanam, pumsam sadhanam prabhavet. Pumsam means for the human beings. Pums means purushaha. Pumsam means purushanam, for the people. Sadhanam prabhavet, the means of knowledge. As I mean, preparation, the preparatory means of knowledge. Knowledge is a means for moksha, but what is the preparatory means for jnanam? Sadhanam. Sadhanam here is what? No? A preparatory means. So, prabhavet means what? It becomes possible. It becomes accomplished for the human beings. The means, the qualifications, the means of preparatory disciplines of knowledge becomes accomplished for human being only if a person lives a life of karma yoga. If a person lives a life of, lives a meditative life, worshipful life, a prayerful life, a disciplined life. How he puts that now? This varnashrama dharmena tapasa hari toshanath prabhavet sadhanam pumsam. So it is possible for the human beings. What happens now? Vairagyadi chatushtayam. What is the sadhanam? What is the four means of, what is the qualification here? Vairagyadi chatushtayam. Chatushtayam means fourfold, a set of four. Why vairagya adi, vairagyam, etc. That means in Tattva Bodha, you have studied all the fourfold qualifications. See, you understand little differently what you understood in Tattva Bodha. Little elaborately, little more widely. Like Shamaha, Damaha, etc. When Shankara discusses here, very beautiful. We'll see all that later on. So, vairagyadi chatushtayam. Chatushtayam means a set of fourfold qualifications such as vairagyam, dispassion. Okay, a set of fourfold qualifications, four qualifications such as vairagyam, etc. Doesn't talk all the four, he just says vairagyam, etc. One can have, people can have, if they live a disciplined life, if they live their lives in harmony with the universal law and order, which is said to be pleasing the Bhagavan. How can they live their life in harmony with the universal law and order? By living a disciplined, you know, life, by following disciplines, by following values, by living a religious life, and by living a life of karma yoga. Is it clear? I repeated many things because you have to really to get you what exactly Shankara's heart is, what he means by this. Because Haritoshanam, how can I please Bhagavan? All the time we had to make our efforts to please Bhagavan. How? In what way? Following Panchamahayagyas, living a life of Karma Yoga, following disciplines, following values, and being worshipful and prayerful. These are all the things. The only way you can please the Lord. That is what is implied by saying living a life in tune with Ishvara. Haritoshanam. Okay, that is how one can become eligible for knowledge, being endowed with these fourfold qualifications such as Vairagyam. Okay, we'll go to the next verse now. Okay, 5 more minutes.
Brahmadisthavaranteshu
Vairagyam
Vishayeshvanu
Yathaiva
Kakavishtayam
Vairagyam
Taddhinirmalam.
Okay. So, here onwards, Shankara introduced the fourfold qualifications in the third verse. But before introducing the fourfold qualifications, he tells how to acquire those fourfold qualifications in the first line of the third verse. One line, he just tells how to acquire fourfold qualifications. Then he introduces those fourfold qualifications, without which it is impossible for the mind to have the assimilated vision of the truth. And thereafter, Shankara is going to elaborately discuss what those fourfold qualifications are. Okay, so he just introduced Vairagyam. Thereafter, in the fourth verse, he talks about Vairagyam. What is Vairagyam? He explains in the fourth verse. And what is Nitya Anitya Vastu Vivekaha? He talks in the fifth verse. And the sixth verse, he talks about twofold disciplines, Shamaha and Damaha. Seventh verse, he talks about Uparamaha and Titiksha. 8th verse, he talks about Shraddha and Samadhanam. Okay? I'm telling you, I'm not going to do the class now anyway. I tell you, it's very good to do how Shankara presents the Satattva Bodha topics in his book. How he sees it very beautiful. Slightly differently he's going to present. You'll see everything correctly here. So, till the 8th verse, we have fourfold qualifications, discussion of fourfold qualifications till the 8th verse. From the 4th to the 8th. The fourth, he says, what is Vairagyam? Fifth, he says, what is Nitya Nitya Vastu Vivekaha? The sixth, he, seventh and eighth, in three verses, he discusses sixfold disciplines. Two in each verse. Okay. So, we will, when we meet next, we'll do that. I'll try to give some notes for this also. Let me try to do that. I got it?
Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.